if you were to, theoretically, if you took a whole bunch of beer you didn't like, and this is illegal, and boiled it.
Because it could explode in your house and kill everybody. That's pretty
much yeah, and also you don't pay any taxes, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, mostly that second one.
Welcome, everybody, to Sit Sock. I hope that was enough time for you to clap in. My name is Kendrick.
Welcome,
I'm Kyle.
To Sit Sock. It's Joe.
All right, let's get a short episode tonight. So, oh my God, you just were talking about the Air Bud video. It just popped up on my YouTube thing on my other monitor here.
Ah, that's
unsettling.
YouTube.
Unsettling.
That's Google algorithm listening in.
It is.
Wait. Didn't we have two things we were going to talk about at the end of last episode? One of them was band names, but I'm not ready to do that today.
That's
the other
fine.
One was, did we ever talk about the meat I made? Or is that not a thing we talked about?
You've talked a little bit about it, but you should talk more about it.
Talk more about your meat.
You're the only person. Did you try it yet?
Yes.
Everybody's
it was delicious.
Tried it then. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad we talked about it.
It's good. Okay. It's delicious.
Yeah,
it's tasty.
Good. What do you want more? I mean, it's tart. It's got a nice bite to it. It's not overly saccharine sweet, but it doesn't come off super boozy like a ethanol forward kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm. And nobody got sick while drinking it, which is great.
No, not at
yet.
All.
I think Amy didn't like it because it was too dry, and I get that because there's not a ton of sugar in it.
Well, what's nice about
that? Contribute a lot of that sugar in fermentation.
What's nice about that is you can just put a little splash of juicy juice in there.
That's a good point.
Splash.
I have a bottle waiting for me for this weekend.
What
kind of
juice would you use for me? Sorry, Kyle.
Oh, you're fine.
I was like, because I'm trying to think. It was like
a mixer or to make it.
No, like. Either. Both.
You don't really... You just use water. I just use water when I make meat. I don't use juice because juice...
But
you put other stuff in
macerated berries, right?
But if you were making kind of a mixer at the end...
No, I put full frozen blueberries in it. I unfreeze them a little bit, but I just put full blueberries in it.
So what I would do for this one, if I wanted to sweeten it up, is I might just honestly... You could put a little... If you make making a cocktail... It's going to be a little tricky to line that up, I think, because it's not quite super boozy enough to do many mix things. But frankly, just a splash of pineapple juice, maybe, or even just a white grape juice, just to give it a little bit of sweetness, would probably balance it nicely for someone who finds it too dry.
Yeah, I could see that.
Could be good.
It doesn't take much, because you don't need to add any complexity. Like, if you're doing a lot of mixed drinks with a sweet... like some kind of sweetness to it, you might want to put something with a little more character, like a passion fruit or whatever, but I don't think you want to argue with this. I think, frankly, just a teensy bit of sweetness. You could honestly put like a little splash of honey.
That's what I was going to say.
Just honey water. Honey. Yeah.
Because by the time the fermentation's done, if you don't put a sweet fruit in it, it doesn't have a lot of sweetness left because the sugar's mostly been digested into alcohol. So, and it's funny because you end up putting like 3 pounds and 3.5 pounds of honey into this gallon tank. And making this giant vat of honey water that you add flavor and yeast to, like fruit and yeast to. And you think, like, you know, 4 pounds of honey, man, that's going to be sweet. And by the end of it, it's really not that sweet.
Well, it's not, it's not, honestly. Like, even just now, honey itself isn't as sweet as I usually expect it to be whenever I put honey on something. And I'm like, huh. I've been doing a lot of, not as often as we're finally over our, like, 4 month period of my entire household being fucking sick. Now that we're kind of past that point, I'm not drinking hot toddies as frequently, but I was doing that for my throat because it feels so good on my throat, and it tastes really nice. And kind of mixing it up with a little bit, but all I do to make it, and I could be making it wrong, so I'll have you guys correct me, but I just do hot water, a little bit of honey, some lemon juice, like you use like for the little squeeze bottles, and like whatever bourbon or whiskey that I have on hand.
I've heard at this point like 5 different recipes for hot toddy, so I have no judgment on how you make yours.
That sounds fine to me. I would recommend fresh citrus. I think it tastes better and is better for you. But
I can feel that.
Yeah, I'm in the habit now of every time I'm at the grocery store, I buy a handful of lemons and limes for a couple of dollars.
Gotcha.
And then I watch them go bad on the counter.
Yeah, see, that's
they're
the
fun
only
to
thing
watch.
That prevents
rot.
Me from doing that.
Well, but. The whole premise, though, is then, I mean, like, I'm going to probably use a quarter of them over the time that I buy them, but then I don't need to be like, well, I want a lime. Guess I'll go to the store.
Or you get, like, the liquor store that sells kind of, like, bad-looking limes every day. You're like, ugh.
Sketchy ones, yeah.
I kind of need a lime, I guess.
Right. I mean, they probably get their limes from the same place the grocery store you go to does. Yeah, just a week later.
So, although I do want to say one thing I found interesting. You said you don't find honey to be very sweet.
Wait, who? Me?
I do. Yeah, you said that.
Yeah, you said that.
Just like I was curious about that.
Yeah, just like it's not as sweet. Like if I'm putting it like on a sandwich or something, yes, of course. If I'm having it like raw or on something like a cracker, yes. But when I'm mixing it in with like a drink or something like that, I expect like a higher honey sweetness or at least more honey sweetness than I actually do like actually get.
Yeah.
So it's just like I expect it to be much sweeter. And it's not because it's.
What kind of honey do you use?
Just the one that comes out of a little bear.
So like clove honey, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Clover or clove?
Clover.
Honey.
No, you're right.
Clover. It's
clover. I was gonna say clove honey sounds.
Cloves. Cloves.
The honey. Next, I was gonna try what is it? Some kind of like orange hibiscus honey next.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was going to crack that shit into blueberry and see if or blueberry citrus would be a good flavor for.
I always kind of wondered if
sounds good.
If you could use what is the stuff in tequila?
Agave.
Agave, yeah. Yeah. Like, would that make a mead?
Isn't that what they use to make tequila?
Right.
I mean,
I'm just curious if basically. You did the same process.
Yeah, you didn't distill it.
The mead itself is more about the type of yeast you use and
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, honey is a part of it, but.
Well, no, I mean basically. Tequila is distilled agave mead.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
so, okay. Yes. I don't know if anyone sells just the agave brew. Like, I don't know if it's a beverage. Maybe it tastes like butt. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so, like, the thing, I think, if you're not familiar with what Kendrick just said, and this is me mansplaining distilling, and I'm not going to do it very well, so, like, the act of distilling is just simply getting the water out of something. Or in most cases, that's what people mean when they say distill, is like to concentrate something down. So like if you distilled mead, you would get all the alcohol and none of the water, basically.
And so. Mead is considered a wine, I think, for practical purposes, because it's the fermentation process. Yeah. So if it basically, like, if you make wine, right, you take grapes, you mash them up. Often, historically, there was wild yeast on the grapes, but nowadays we use controlled yeast. So you mash it, and then depending on how you strain it and how you let it sit and when you put the yeast in, added sugar, you get different colors of wine, you get different expressions of wine, and you can get, you know, fermentations and fizzy wine and whatever. But at the end of the day, the yeast is converting some of the sugar in the grape juice or honey water into alcohol, and then you seal it and kill the yeast so that it stops converting it. Or you, in some of them, you let the yeast itself dies off naturally because the environment it creates, being surrounded by its own piss and farts, is toxic to it, so it can't make any more alcohol. Which is why you can't make a beer or wine much above 15 to 20%, because at that point it's actually very toxic for almost every yeast.
Oh.
But there are cultures of yeast that can survive higher and lower alcohol contents depending on what you're going for, which is types of yeast. So I think mead yeast can survive a little higher than wine yeast, and beer yeast survives less than wine yeast. So.
Yep, and then beer is a similar thing, but it's usually malted barley that you're using. You're making a goo out of malted barley, and then you're using the super high dextrose content. Dextrose? One of the sugar contents to create the mash, which you then ferment and then strain off, or boil and strain off, and that's what gives you the beer, which you then fortify with hops to stabilize it as necessary or provide flavors that you like. Now, the trick to all of those things is you take your boozy thing that you brewed at, you know, 5 to 20% alcohol, and you boil that. Alcohol evaporates off of it. You collect that alcohol, and then you've got to distill it. So that's where you get your vodkas, your, you know, whatever, and then aging that is what makes it into whiskeys and whatever else. So beer, if you distill it, you get whiskey. I wouldn't do that with a hopped beer because the hops will pretty much dominate, and so that's not a great idea. But if you were to, theoretically, if you took a whole bunch of beer you didn't like, and this is illegal, and boiled it.
Because it could explode in your house and kill everybody. That's
And also you don't pay any taxes, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, but basically that second one.
Yeah. You could boil beer that you didn't like, and then you could collect the condense it from that, and then you could boil that, And you can do this over and over again until you just have pure Hence alcohol.
The idea of triple distilled whiskey.
Yeah. And that will be a straight, like, 90% vodka by the end of it if you kept doing it. It would, however, also contain methanol, which is very dangerous for you and can make you go blind. So you have to be careful exactly how you do that, but essentially it's possible for you to continue to distill out all the things that aren't alcohol until you just have the alcohols, which are...
And then you get into, like, straight organic chemistry where you can actually do, like, giant separations where you pull everything else that's not alcohol out of the alcohol. But that's what you do if you're in, like, a lab, not...
Yeah, and then you want to make cleaning alcohol or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the 99.999% isopropyl alcohol.
Something you can't drink.
Yes.
Well, you can drink it once.
Because it was ethanol. That's Everclear, right? Yeah. Everclear is 90, 95 or 98%
but
ethanol.
Funny enough, like 100% alcohol you get in a lab is they purify it differently, meaning the chemicals they use to get the alcohol out, because they want it to be 99.999999 whatever percent. Wow, that was a cool audio stream when I said 9999 percent alcohol. They use like hexanes and things that are really hydrophobic to pull the alcohol out. And so there's more of those left over, and those things will kill you. Like, it's not the alcohol that kills you when you drink, like, lab ethanol. It's all the shit they use to extract the ethanol.
So I actually have a tub, a 5-gallon bucket of 99% isopropyl alcohol, and it's not for human consumption. It's industrial grade. But what it's perfect for is a cleaning solution, because all the stuff that's in it, all those hexanes you're talking about or whatever, because there's, like, 5 different ways to make isopropanol.
Yeah.
Whatever it is flashes off, so you don't want it to be on your skin or in an open wound or in your mouth, because it'll absorb. But on a mat surface, like a cleaning the floors or cleaning a wrestling mat, it flashes off and it doesn't do anything.
It's kind of the same thing they use for, like, Sharpies. Like, whatever the Sharpie ink is in it, it's like a chemical that evaporates very, very quickly. It doesn't flash off, but it's the same idea.
Yeah.
Cool.
I guess you're right. It isn't flashing. It's evaporating off.
Well,
but essentially,
the hexanes will flash off, maybe, but, like, yeah. I don't know for sure.
But anyway, so as far as the drinking alcohol is concerned, you either make, essentially, out of everything in the world, you either make a beer or a wine, essentially, and then you boil it to get the booze out. So things like mead, beer, wine, and that's, I guess, a sake, and a couple of other things. Those are all brewed and fermented and then strained or boiled or whatever else have you. But things like whiskey, vodka, gin, brandy, those are all distilled. Brandy's weird because it's distilled and mixed back with wine, but everything else is distilled, meaning you boiled it and took it out. And then you leave for whiskey, you take it and you leave it on wood for a while and it absorbs the tannins and takes on a cool color. For gin, you can soak it in juniper berries and other botanicals and it picks up those flavors. And so that's basically the whole premise.
Cool.
Which is also the fundamental basis of all human civilization.
If you also want to understand really cool stuff about alcohol chemistries, look at bitters. Like, look at how you make bitters and how you can, like, make your own. And it's pretty cool, the chemistry that goes into, like, doing that. Because it's kind of, like, the same idea where you do something and then you extract, right? And then you're pulling out, like, the flavor. Like, the literal flavor. Like, so that's why you use, like, drops. You don't use... the kind of, like, tinctures that you can mix is the idea, I guess, with bitters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you're not supposed to consume tinctures on their own, necessarily. I guess it's because they're too concentrated or something like that, but you can mix them and use them. Anyway.
Yeah, you're supposed to,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Science sock.
Science sock. I love a good science sock.
Yep. It's always fun.
Where do you go from there?
Home. We did say we were going to do a short one. Do you want to just end it there? Or
nah,
were
we
you just
7
joking?
Minutes. Everybody, how many people have seen Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I haven't seen
80%
it
80%
of
us. Joe, I have to come to your house. And...
It's really cool,
Kyle,
man.
Kyle, you take Kevin. I'll take Joe. We've got to go to their house and take turns spitting in their mouths and kicking them in the junk.
No, I don't want to.
That's
do
what
that.
I threatened last week.
Because the junk kick makes my mouth open, and you spit in the mouth, which makes me retract back down. So
yeah, you like move your hands up to your mouth to cover it, and then you lose your ball cover.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I think it's the perfect thing. Yeah,
it's a really cool movie, anyway. Though. It's not what you think it is. No matter what you think it is, so I guess is the.
It's funny because I just edited the episode where we did that, and it's funny. I was really hoping you would do exactly that. Where you're like, it's, I don't, like, how do you explain that movie to somebody?
I mean, I could explain it, but then you wouldn't need to watch it. Right?
Yeah.
Is, I think, what you said.
Yeah, if you did, like, a play-by-play.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't... It's so weird.
I do think that I dig its angle, and I like what it was saying.
And it's also very
cute. It made me feel feelings, and it's also quirky enough that I liked it. It's slightly confusing, but not so confusing. Like it wasn't, like, Primer confusing. Because you're not, like... They don't wrap the main elements of the story inside of its own ass like Primer does.
Yes,
I know that doesn't make sense now, but you'll get it if you watch it.
I found it confusing, but in the same way that being at a traditional wedding ceremony for a language you don't understand is confusing, but you're just kind of along for the ride. You're like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but everyone seems really happy.
Like, you kind of get the gist of it, but kind of like...
It's kind of like... walking through Meow Wolf, Kevin. That's the best way I can describe it.
Oh,
like,
I so want to go.
You're
kind
of like, it's like stuff you're used to, and then it's got a bunch of weird stuff thrown in, but it's also got like some kind of through story. But there's happening all the time.
You got to double take all the time because you're like, did I actually just see like that anomaly that's not normal, but it kind of is normal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you haven't gone to Meow Wolf, it's a lot of fun.
By the way, one last thing about these guys. So we can talk about Meow Wolf in a sec. The guys who directed it, they're called the Daniels. It's like two Daniels. The last movie they directed was Swiss Army Man. So if that says anything about Everything Everywhere All at Once, Everything Everywhere All at Once, there you go.
Gotcha. Cool.
Meow Wolf.
Yeah. Meow Wolf. I got really excited when that opened up in the Denver area because the only thing that I had heard about them, it actually took me a minute to kind of remember what it was because all I'd ever seen of it was the Omega Mart stuff, the Omega Mart commercials they do on YouTube, which if you haven't watched those, you should. It's like, I thought it was like an offshoot of the SCP wiki that I had stumbled onto, and it was like, no, this is a totally different thing. Love it. So surreal. So weird.
They sell a lot of that Omega Mart stuff at the gift shop at Malwolf.
It's Denver. Awesome.
What is it called? It's called a something station. I can't remember. Your brother put it in the chat the other day. Convergence station.
Convergence station.
No,
it's worth
nuts.
Any money you'd spend to go to it, so I highly say anybody go. It's crowded, but it's not that crowded.
Yeah.
They do like entry in groups, which is nice. It's big enough that you sometimes run into people and you're like, I feel crowded, but there's always a place to go where you can like just stand and not have to be around people.
Yeah, you definitely want to give yourself a solid like 2 hours of time though, at least, because there's just nooks and crannies and bits and bobs to explore, and you could like lose yourself pretty easily.
Yeah, I was excited about getting high and going in, but I kind of regret getting high and going in because, like, it was intense for the first hour.
Oh.
I was like, it was cool, but I feel like it was, I got lost so easy. I was like, where am I? Because we walked in through a car that turned into a hallway, and then somehow half an hour later we ended up back at that same car, and I was like, what the fuck?
Like, we lost each other like, within like 5 minutes. We lost each other.
Yeah, we did. And I feel like I was gone from them for like 6 hours, but it had only been like 30 minutes. Because there's so, like, the scenery changed so much. You're like in a back alley in a club, and then you go into like a forest, and you're like, what the hell? Like, what is this? Where am I?
I kind of felt like.
Yeah, I got to do it.
You were in Borderlands, maybe? Or I felt like the Outer Worlds in a lot of situations.
Definitely Wonderland-y.
Yeah.
So you get that feel.
Very cool.
Anyway, I took us over way too long, so.
No,
that's fine. That's perfect.
I
want to
do the Adultiverse, but it's Wednesdays. Anyway. Okay. Like, comment, and subscribe, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Next time.
Next time.